The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آليك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Travelers of Difficult Paths And as you know by now we are discussing great accounts Some of them mentioned in the Quran, some in the Hadith books, in the books of Tariq, the history of Islam, where our elders, be they Prophets alayhi salam, or Sahaba, or Awliya, they faced many trials. And those trials were a means of them gaining the closeness of the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those trials and tribulations did not affect them. They knew it was from Allah, and it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made a way out for them as well. So inshallah, in this episode, we'll be hearing about another great sacrifice of a beautiful personality, an intimate friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But before that, let us hear a blessing of reciting Durood Sharif. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and send salutations upon me, for indeed your salutation upon me is expiation for your sins. So if you want our sins to be forgiven, we want to lighten this burden of sins, then we recite salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, in this episode, the personality that we will be hearing about is known as Abu al-Anbiya, a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an intimate friend of Allah, known with the title Khalil. Yes, I'm referring to Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, the intimate close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had two sons, Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhi salam and Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam. They too were prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Son of Sayyiduna Ishaq alayhi salam is Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam. He was also a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the son of Sayyiduna Yaqub alayhi salam is of course Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salam. Again, an eminent, beautiful prophet of Allah jalla wa ala. So from the offspring of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, there are many, many individuals who were blessed with prophethood, nubuwwah. As for the other son, Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam, he only had one prophet from his offspring. But that prophet was the greatest of all the prophets alayhi salam. Of course, that was none other than our master, Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now when Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam came to the world, it was the rule of Nimrud. People would worship the sun. They would also worship the moon, ma'adhallah. Now these people, they didn't even realize that the things that they're worshipping are not all-powerful. How can something which extinguishes and then gains luminosity in the evening, like stars or the moon, be God, ma'azallah? Something which has zawal, the sun is out in the day, then it sets. How can that be God? These things which have ibtida and intiha, beginning and end, how can they be God? If they have a beginning, who gave them that beginning? So these things, they didn't ponder upon this. So Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, at that time, was approached by many people as well. Worship this and worship that. In accordance to their madhab, their beliefs, they would give da'wah. They would say worship the sun. Some would say worship the stars. Some would say worship the moon. Some would say worship fire. Remember one thing, that all of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, from the first to the last, they have been bestowed with great intellect, perfect intellects. No one in creation can match the intellects of the Anbiya alayhimus salam, their intelligence, subhanallah. Their miracles are matchless. Their eloquence when speaking is matchless, subhanallah. So the people who worshipped the stars, they came and they said, you worship stars as well. Now was Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam going to accept or reject? Of course he was going to reject. How can he accept stars as worthy of worship? So what did he say? He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَآ كَوْكَبًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي When night came, approached or entered, Ibrahim alayhi salam saw stars. قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي He said, is this my Lord? How can this be? فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَا أُحِبُّ الْآفِلِينَ When Ibrahim alayhi salam saw this, he said, how can I worship something like that? I have no desire to worship anything like that. It's incorrect. Then people came who invited him to worship the moon, because the moon was superior to the stars. فَلَمَّا رَأَى الْقَمْرَ بَازِغًا قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. When he saw the shining bright moon, he said, is this my Lord? فَلَمَّا أَفَلَ قَالَ لَإِن لَمْ يَهْدِنِي رَبِّي لَأَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الضَّالِّينَ. But when brightness of the moon had disappeared, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam said, if my Lord did not guide me, then I would have been from the misguided. Meaning the blessing of Allah is upon me. And then the people who worshipped the sun came, and they said, worship the sun. Again, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, each time is answering them, logically, rationally. He said, فَلَمَّا رَأَى الشَّمْسَ بَازِغَةً قَالَ هَذَا رَبِّي. When he saw the sun, with its luminosity, with its brightness, he said, is this my Lord? فَلَمَّا أَفَلَتْ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. When he saw the sunset, he said, O my nation, I am absolved from what you associate to Allah. All these things that you associate to Allah, I've got nothing to do with it. إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّمَّا تُشْرِكُونَ. The sun can't be Allah. The moon can't be God. The stars can't be God. None of this. They rise and they set and they're limited. They're not worthy of worship at all. Now, there was another way they would worship. And Ibrahim alayhi salam's uncle, Azar, he was also involved in that, embroiled in that, ma'adallah. So, in his city, they would arrange a festival. People attended the festival. Meanwhile, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam came to the place where the idols were kept and worshipped. And he destroyed all of them. And the actual tool he used to destroy them, he actually hanged it there as well, on the shoulder of the biggest idol. When the qawm returned from the festival, they went to the house of the idols and they saw this state. The idols are all destroyed, broken. They saw that they all face first on the floor. And they said, who did this? A voice was heard. It was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Nobody else besides him. And when Ibrahim alayhi salam was summoned and called, he was asked, they said to him, oh Ibrahim, did you do this with our gods? Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam replied and said, you see the tool that was used to destroy all of these is hanging on the shoulder of the biggest idol. Ask him who did it. The nation of Ibrahim said to him, oh Ibrahim, he doesn't speak. The idol doesn't speak, so how can we ask him? Ibrahim alayhi salam replied and said, this is what I'm trying to teach you guys. And this is what I'm trying to tell you people. That you're worshipping something which can't even communicate. Has no power to speak. Has no power to convey a message. It can't even think. It can't even hear. You worship it. It can't provide benefit or harm. Now, if this is the case, then how is it going to protect you and save you? It won't do that at all. Now, whilst this was going on, the nation of Ibrahim alayhi salam was so foolish and stupid. They said, let's help our gods by taking revenge. Let's punish Ibrahim alayhi salam. Think about it for a moment, dear viewers. Who helps their own gods? Meaning that jumla, that sentence itself shows that those idols were not gods at all. They weren't worthy of being worshipped. Now our Lord Allah Azza wa Jalla protects us, preserves us, saves us. But they're thinking about helping their own God. Allahu Akbar. And then what happened? They began preparations to, ma'azallah, punish Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. They said, قَالُوا حَرِّقُوهُ وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. They said, seize Ibrahim and burn him. وَانْصُرُوا آلِهَتَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فَاعِلِينَ. If you want to do something, you want to retaliate, then help your gods. As I just mentioned, this was their logic. So Ibrahim alayhi salam was imprisoned. A cauldron was made. 45 feet wall was made. Then another 45 feet wall, both in length. And then a 30 foot wall was made. Why? Just for one person. To ma'adhallah, throw him in there, into the fire. Now Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu states, and he said to Sayyidina Mujahid radiallahu anh, that, O Mujahid, do you know who was the person who gave this mashura of burning Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, the wretched individual who gave this suggestion? It was Aqrad bin Atiyah. Now these four walls that were made, 45 feet in length, two of them, and two of them 30 feet in width. This is a massive, massive size and area. It took 40 days to gather enough wood for this purpose. 40 days. And the people at the time had so much hatred, they would even make vows if they were ill, for example, that if we recover from our illness, then we will give X amount of wood pieces in order to burn this great prophet of Allah, ma'adallah. Obviously, in their eyes, he wasn't a great prophet. They rejected him. They had so much hatred in their heart for him. And this is how devoted they were to idols were not going to help him in the dunya nor the akhirah. Then the fire was lit, as we know. And then they began to think, how are we going to place Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam in there? And that's when they came up with an invention called manjaliq, catapult, massive one. And they thought, this is how we'll throw Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire. So they tied Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's from the forefathers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is from those people who constructed Al-Ka'aba al-Musharrafa, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Now today in this situation, the day when this happened, because of saying the name of Allah, because of rejecting the idols, look what he is going through. But is he complaining? No. Does he have full trust in the plan of Allah? Yes. Does he rely solely on Allah? Yes. Is he showing resoluteness? Yes. Is he showing that he is passing all tests in relation to Iman and faith? Yes. These are things that we need to know. He's about to be thrown into the fire. He's trying to save them from the fire of hell. They want to throw him into the dunyavi fire, the fire of the world. But how would the fire of the world even affect Ibrahim alayhi salam? Now, here we should also ponder. People who have incorrect beliefs regarding the Anbiya alayhi salam, they say all sorts regarding the blessed bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam in Alamul Barzakh. Now, if fire cannot affect the body of a prophet, as we will hear, how can soil affect the body of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's not possible. So, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is tied, he's placed into the catapult. At that time, an angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came and said to Ibrahim alayhi salam, command us, tell us what to do, so that we may help you. The angel of the water, he came and he said the same thing. Shall we shower rain so that the fire is put out? Give us a command. The angel of the wind came and said the same thing. Command us. What did the Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, what did he say? He said, I have reliance upon my Lord Allah Azza wa Jal. I don't have any need of you. To the extent that Jibreel alayhi salam came and he said, command me, tell me what to do. And he said, O Jibreel, I don't need help from you. So look at the reliance that Ibrahim alayhi salam had upon Allah Azza wa Jal. He kept saying, Allah is sufficient for me. Now how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save this Prophet of Allah? His beloved Prophet, his intimate friend. Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Allah Ta'ala said, oh fire, become cool, become peaceful upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was placed into the fire, he didn't feel it at all. It became cool for him, it became peaceful for him. And when he was being thrown into the fire, what did he say? La ilaha illa anta subhanak, wa lakal hamd, wa lakal mulk, la sharika lak. These were the words on the blessed tongue of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. The scholars of Islam have said that for about 40 to 50 days, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was in the fire. And he says that for as long as I was in there, and he alayhi salam himself says, for as long as I was in there, he said, I've not been as happy as that throughout my life. I was so happy in there. Why? Allah Ta'ala said, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala sent an angel in the form of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, who looked like him. That angel turned the entire area which was on fire into a garden. Subhanallah. Lush garden. That angel came to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, began conversing with him to provide comfort to him. Jibreel alayhi salam brought heavenly attire from Jannah, and he was made to wear this. And along with this, a message came from the divine, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh my Khalil, oh my intimate friend, you are my close friend. You are my intimate friend. And the fire cannot affect the beloveds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I touched upon this before. The fire of the dunya can't affect the Prophet. Then what about the soil? The soil, to a great extent, can't affect the bodies of the Prophets alayhi wasalam. And we're told in a hadith that those people who have seen individuals who saw the Prophet alayhi wasalam, the fire is haram upon them. The Prophet alayhi wasalam said, whoever saw me, or someone who saw me, matlab sahabi, the fire of hell cannot burn him at all. One day Nimrud saw this scene, that nothing is happening to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he realized that the fire has been extinguished, especially where Ibrahim alayhi salam was. And he said to him, oh Ibrahim, can you come out of the fire? He said, yeah. So he said to him, come out a bit further then. Now, this was the ill intention of Nimrud. He wanted him to come to the area where there was fire, so that he is affected by it and harmed by it. But he is not aware that Allah Ta'ala is protecting Ibrahim alayhi salam from all calamity, from all harm, and all of the things that I've mentioned that have taken place. Allah Ta'ala is protecting his great prophet, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam leaves the fire, Nimrud says, I respect and honor your Lord. And I have made a vow, another, to gain closeness to your Lord, I will sacrifice 400 cows. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, no. Your sacrifice is futile. If you don't leave your ill beliefs, your idol worship, your polytheism, what use is your 4,000 sacrifices? And we know Nimrud was not ready for this. He was not to leave his idol worship. And in the Quran, we're told about the test of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. He was tested in many ways. He came through all of those tests and he completed them. And look at the great rank he attained. So we learn from the incident of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam that you must remain firm upon the deen. You must not take a step backwards. Look at the level the oppressors went to. But did this waver his faith? No. Allah Jalla wa Ala grant us through the sadaqah of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, grant us the same strength in iman so that we can tackle head on the fitan of this time. Allah protect us and preserve all of our imans. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
The travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths, travelers of difficult paths.